DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wedding Chat with Dave Turnier and Jeremy Breck.
David!
And John Young.
And John Young, yes. We talked to John and said, John, you have to be in the beginning of this segment because there was a really exciting week last week in the world of music. And we're not talking about the Grammys.
Oh,
we're talking about NAMM. NAMM.
Yeah.
NAMM.
So Dave, Jeremy was pretty much stuck in one area at NAMM because that was where he's working. Can you believe that the number of times that we went to go visit that particular space, we did not see him once there?
Okay, so let me explain why.
Yeah, let's get
you were there on Thursday. You were there on Thursday, yes, correct? And Friday?
We were there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were over in the main exhibit hall.
Correct.
And when I saw you at the Chauvet booth. Yes, I stopped by and said hi, gave Lori a hug. And I had to catch a plane. I had to actually fly back. I was there from Sunday. I got there on Sunday, and we started setting up first thing Monday morning. We rigged. We did all that stuff. We got the trussing up for the Electro Voice booth. Let me back up on that. Electro Voice booth, I did all the lighting design for it. And we took the trussing up on Tuesday morning, and then we did more of the focusing, the fine details. Wednesday, Electro Voice had their sales meeting in the room, and so they wanted, like, hey, you know, let's show them the opening show to this. And it's like, okay, and so it was kind of like a craziness of making sure everything was ready to go for the actual show. So we did that, and then Thursday the show kicked off, and I had an opportunity to run down. I saw John and Lori visiting with the Chauvet people and kind of going over some of their new products, and I'm like, hey, I gotta go. I had to jump on a plane. I had to fly back to Sioux Falls because I had an event on Friday that personally had me booked. So I was not at NAMM from Thursday afternoon until Friday. As soon as I was done with my event, we tore it down. We drove back to Sioux Falls, and I got back to the shop, dropped everything off, and I set my alarm on my phone, and it said, your alarm is going to go off, because I had to catch a plane the next, like that morning. It said, your alarm's going to go off in an hour and 43 minutes. And I'm like, oh,
no.
Why am I even trying? So my alarm goes off. I jump back on the plane. I get back out to NAMM. So I wasn't even there when John was like in the zone. I wasn't even there. But it was crazy. And then I had like an hour and 43 minutes plus whatever I slept on the planes, you know, jumping back and forth and transition. And then everyone was like, hey, it's Saturday night. You know, it's NAMM night. You got to go out. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to go eat and I'm going to go to bed. And then I found out, like, my kids are huge Andy Grammer fans, and Andy Grammer actually played the big stage on the Yamaha stage. Did you go?
No, we were gone. We were there. Wednesday, we left Saturday morning. So,
okay. Yeah. So my kids are huge Andy Grammer fans, and I'm like, okay, it would be cool if I could see him. And I was looking, I couldn't find it anywhere. And I'm like, oh, he must've already played the night before. So I ended up going to bed early that night. Sunday, I was rejuvenated. I had all the energy. I was back. And then Monday, we brought the trussing down, tore all the lights out, And then I flew back out on Monday afternoonish. So that was my week at NAMM.
Goodness. That would explain why we didn't see you on Friday.
That's why you did not see me, John.
Oh, my.
But no, but tell me, and completely honest, what did you think of the Electro Voice, how they created that room? What did you think?
The Electro Voice room, as much as last year, I was a little hard on Mr. Dussault a little bit with last year's room and what he did. This year, completely knocked it out of the park. He did exactly what needed to be done for demonstrating the sound quality of the different speakers, focusing the attention where it needs to be, and then, of course, having the visuals to kind of help direct the attention to that so people could come in there and hear and experience the sound and such. There wasn't a confusion of what the message was. You were getting EV sound in that demonstration. It wasn't someone up there and it's like, well, is the sound kind of weird because they're, you know, playing some weird mix of a song or they're doing fancy. It was what I, as an end user, or I, as someone who's going to be wanting to sell EV to a customer, it's what I need to know. I need to know that, you know, Dussault, when he was talking over top, he's using the Evolve 50s and he's on the microphone while there's music at a pretty high clip behind him on those Evolve 50s, that he has enough headroom so he can be heard through that room like there's no tomorrow. I need to be able to hear the ELX 200s. And as he's going from speaker to speaker, being able to say, wow, that's an interesting combination. I didn't think I would like that combination, but I thought I'd like this one better. But no, I like that one. So it was good, a very good experience. I think Dussault and his team definitely knocked it out of the park on this one.
Yeah. So Dave, just so you kind of have an idea, obviously, you know, Mike.
I know Mike, and I did catch one or two of his live videos. So I did get an idea of, you know, the fact that, you know, there was a massive screen that I can't even begin to.
Yeah.
What was that the screen, like 60 feet wide, 50 feet wide?
I think it was like 35. I mean, it was a pretty big.
It had been bigger than that, really.
I think so. I don't know.
I thought it was bigger than
that. No, I think you guys had, you know, when the speakers all underneath, and when one speaker would be on, you'd have spotlights that move to spot it. So there was no, I mean, you knew what the hell you were listening to.
Precisely.
So,
that was very good.
Yeah. And one of the things that I thought was really good was it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, okay, this speaker is more expensive, so let's play this one louder than the other one. It was, you know, let's play this at the quality and the levels that it should be used. And then let's go to ELX and ZLX and basically went down the line and really just said, you know, obviously you can see the progression of quality, you know, you pay for that.
Yeah.
It's just like in our businesses in a wedding, you know, when I look at my company, when you look at the quality that you're getting, you're going to pay more for the quality. And I thought they did a great job of representing that. Some of the cool things that I noticed, or some of the cool things that I saw, and I'm not just talking EV booth. It was a fun booth to be a part of. And I'm glad that Mike was, you know, he had this creative idea and he said, Jeremy, you know, can you do this? Do you want to try this? And I built a 2-hour timeline in Show Express.
Oh. 2 hours?
2-hour timeline. Yeah. Oh. And what we did, and this was like, it was a lot of work, but what we did is we actually just created a MIDI note at the beginning of timeline. Instead of using it as an edit MIDI note, we actually used it to trigger the timeline as opposed to creating a timeline button, because the show was so complex. There were so many hit points and cues and things like that, that if I would hit the button in live to activate the show, it would take it about 25 seconds to actually activate timeline. So we needed it to activate like right on the spot.
For sure, yeah.
So we actually used the edit keynote in MIDI to fire the show. And we just left timeline open the whole time. So it was fun to be a part of it. It was great to be creative. You know, one of my goals was to, you know, kind of create the energy and the atmosphere with the lighting of what I felt the song was portraying. So it was like an artist having a blank canvas and saying, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what I'm hearing around me. And this is what I'm going to paint on this canvas. So that was a lot of fun. But besides the EV booth, a couple things that stood out to me, John, some things that I noticed a lot of, and again, I didn't go through near as much as you did, but I noticed a lot of in-ear monitors.
Yeah.
And I know it's, you know, bands are using it a lot. But I think a lot of DJs are going to in-ear monitors as well. I mean, they're going with more of the inset earplugs as opposed to the over-the-head microphone or earphones. Did you notice that as well, John?
Oh, certainly. The I think two or three of the major microphone manufacturers who really hadn't put much of an emphasis on in-ear monitors had them and had a new model out for this particular year, and they were front and center. So that's definitely – it was interesting. They were more upstairs from the major manufacturers in the years of the past, downstairs in Hall E, where I like to go down there and check out the weird things.
Chinatown?
Yeah, down in Chinatown. There weren't any there virtually at all. I think if I saw one down there. There was two upstairs.
I've considered going to one before, but haven't done it yet.
Yeah, there were two that were making impressions of ears up on the main level. But
yeah.
Right there they were making impressions to people.
Oh yeah, yep.
There was one booth that I saw. They were actually doing a 3D scan. I mean, basically they had like this light that they were just shining in this guy's ear, moving it around, and I don't know how deep into his ear it was, but they're basically creating a 3D model of his ear, and then they would mold it right there for you. I mean, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
In-ear monitors, like I said, that was one of the biggest things that I noticed this year was the in-ears.
Yeah. That was definitely interesting. I didn't expect it from, I think Shure had one there. Sennheiser, Audio Technica had one. JTS had one over on the other side. There were a couple of the other companies that were, smaller companies that had. So it was very prevalent.
And obviously there's a Kia model, there's a Cadillac model, but do they have price points there? What are the mid-range price points on these things?
If you're looking for some that have the custom molding and such, you can be paying $300 to $500 pretty quickly for something that would then plug into a pack of some sort or your device.
Yeah,
there was one that I saw. It had a price tag of $2,500 starting.
I didn't see that one.
Oh,
yeah. I'm like, man, these things better sing for you.
Yeah, that must be the dual driver ones. I saw some of those that people were talking about. Yeah, this has got multiple drivers, and it gives you extra bass response because of these.
Yeah, because that's what you want is bass rumbling in your ear when you're trying to. So what are some of the things that caught your eye, John?
Well, there's a couple of different components, and some of the things we couldn't shoot video on at this year's show that were kind of interesting that I'll have to get into once they allow us to talk about. But the line array things they're still hugely popular. And we're seeing more companies coming out. One company came out with one I didn't expect. Our friends at RCF came out with a less expensive version of one of their popular line arrays, which was kind of surprising.
I didn't get a chance to really look at it, but it was the Evox 8J or J8 or something.
There's
like that.
There's three different models of it. The J, JW. Basically, it was kind of the plain version. That was basically the DJ one. You just plug in. There's not a whole lot of ability. Then they had one that had a mixer, a built-in mixer. And then I think there was one that had the mixer, but it was down below. So as a musician, the mixer was up on top of on the back. But they're really same components. The only difference between the Evox J series and the Evox 8 is plastic cabinet versus a wood cabinet.
Yeah, sure.
And a huge price point difference. Huge price point difference. So
one of the other things too, I noticed a lot more things are going Bluetooth. Did you catch up on that?
There are some. I was actually surprised at the number of manufacturers that were down. They have Bluetooth and they're talking down about it already. You'd think they'd be saying, hey, this is we have Bluetooth and this is great. And they're like, yeah, well, we have Bluetooth. But remember, the range of Bluetooth is not that far. And Bluetooth is kind of can be a little sketchy and da 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 da. And they're saying this as, we're trying to get signal around through the building. And we all have got Bluetooth devices. I mean, when I had my headset on and my phone's like in my hand right here, my headset's like, okay, searching, connected, disconnected. Searching, it was going on the whole time because there was just so much interference.
I was reading a tech news article about Bluetooth a couple weeks ago, and the author was expressing surprise that somebody like Apple or Samsung or somebody hadn't come along with a new, more rock solid version of it. Because it isn't brilliantly reliable yet.
Not a bit.
Almost like WDMX. They need like a W Bluetooth.
Yeah. I don't know WDMX.
Oh, WDMX is a pretty solid wireless protocol.
Much
got it.
Much more range and such than.
Yeah. I mean, Wi-Fi has great audio transmission capabilities, and I don't know why, I guess that didn't get used more. Maybe it's more power hungry than Bluetooth. I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing too, and I know a lot of people have probably already started the transition, but is it 600 megahertz? There's a certain frequency that's going to be taken up. And I don't know if there's any of the viewers that know exactly which frequency it is for microphones. But there's a certain frequency of microphones that is getting taken over. And I think a lot of microphone companies are recognizing that, and they're starting to go more with a digital, something, you know, with a different frequency away from that, the 600 band. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but it's the kind of lower, mid to lower 600. So most of the modern mic or the new microphones are now down in the 500 is where they're putting them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I think it's because T-Mobile is taking over those frequencies.
Yes. Yep. Ben Stowe has talked a few times about T-Mobile in there.
And you, oh boy.
And you saw the companies coming out with their different things. I think what I saw more of is companies that have gone into the 2.4 bandwidth. So it's like, oh, it's either 2.4 or the 5. So basically it's on the same frequency as your Wi-Fi network and such,
right?
Which was the microphone that we were using for the camcorder was the same way. And what happens with that is that is if it's camera and me and there's nothing in between or very little in between, no problem. If I put my wireless hub here, my router between the two, it doesn't matter. I lose the signal because the router that's just so overpowers that microphone. So there's positives and negatives for that too.
A couple things that I noticed in the lighting, and you know, we talk about how some of these new products and these new developments, how they relate into the wedding industry, since this is wedding talk. A couple things that I noticed in lighting, there was actually a really cool, it was in like the, I don't know if you went through like the China aisle for the lighting. Did you go through that?
Oh yeah.
There was one that actually had some really cool like LED tape. But it was like it was almost like a rubber tube. And you could see that they could actually zone it out. Like it had different segments that you could create different patterns and chases and things like that, colors. I thought that was really cool. I didn't actually look at the cost of it or anything like that, but I thought it was a really cool novelty thing. I could see that actually, like if you did a static color and you wanted to underglow a table, I could see that being really popular, underglow a bar. We used to use LED tape for that, but this just seemed a lot more solid. The other things I noticed, what was that, John?
There's a U.S. company actually that's Brandon Havrilla has been working with in New York there that is coming out with an LED color changing tape that is DMX controllable, and that you can, and it's actually more like a rope light, but that particular can have, I think, up to 300 feet of.
Wow.
All connected, which is huge.
Wow.
Most of the time you're talking
source only from one end.
All one end, yes. And for those, and it's supposed to be IP, whatever, so it can be outdoors all year round, even in the, in the north. So from my standpoint, as someone who wants to light up my house and change color, like Lori's talked about it numerous times, she heard that. She's like, woo, what is it available?
So sound like really expensive Christmas lights, John.
But it's going to be awesome.
It will be awesome, yes.
I did notice I had a chance to, I didn't get to go through. So ADJ had like two different booths. And I was kind of curious, you know, see maybe what we might see at the upcoming Mobile Beat show. I noticed they had a lot like more Fresnels this year. I don't know. Did you notice that? Like the actual more production light as opposed to special effects lights. I mean, they had some really, one of the things I liked was their LED board, but it actually had round corners. Did you notice that, how they spelled out ADJ with the LED board?
No, I guess I didn't pay much attention to that.
I thought that was pretty neat. So if you ever wanted to do like a Jumbotron, but yet you wanted to have round corners, or maybe you wanted to do a round, you know, a circular piece for a video, you could do that. And I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if that's new or if it's been out for a while, but I thought that was pretty neat. Like I said, I also noticed that they had like the Fresnels, something that you would see for a production house. We use Fresnels actually a lot for head table lighting, you know, because some of our venues that we go into, the head table's up there and, you know, you want to set the mood, you got to bring the lights down, but there's nothing to actually light up the head table, which takes away from the photographer's opportunities. It takes away from all the guests who are sitting there watching the wedding happen. So, I have the Chauvet DJ F, or the Fresnel 50, and it's a zooming Fresnel. I love those. They're a fantastic light. Like I said, I noticed that ADGA has it now. And if you don't have Fresnels, to me, they're one of the most underrated lights. I think they don't get enough. They don't get enough hoopla that they deserve. So if you don't have Fresnels, definitely look into Fresnels.
All right. Speaking of as a person who doesn't have a Fresnel, I'm going to geek out for a second. How do you spell that? Because I,
it's actually like, it's weird. It's like F R E S E N L, something like that. There's like silent S in there.
Oh, F R E S N E L. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. It's like Fresnel.
Look at that. Yeah. I see that. All right.
So, I mean, same thing with ellipsoidals. I think ellipsoidals are going to be getting more powerful. I didn't really see any big changes in ellipsoidals at NAMM.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see bigger ellipsoidals. I think you're going to see better zooming on ellipsoidals. I think that's going to be a popular thing. Like I said, I didn't see any big changes in ellipsoidals, but
just optics are going to get better as exactly. they continue. That's yeah. That's the part. And that was even in some of the lights, like Chauvet came out with a new. The wash light that's kind of a the one that you used at Atlantic City to wash the ceiling.
Oh, the wash effects.
Wash effects too.
Yeah, wash effects too. Yeah, I thought that was a good move for them. The only thing I wish they would have done is I wish they would have put warm white and or I'm sorry, I wish they would have put amber and white in there as well and make it a hex.
Sure.
And the reason I say that is because I've tried mixing and creating a nice warm color, but when you mix RGB to create a warm, you still get overglows. You still get like certain hues that you can see off in certain angles. But they added the UV. And I think that is going to be extremely popular for a lot of these bowling alleys, for a lot of these, little theme parks or a lot of these black light rooms and laser tag. We have laser tag systems. And that finally came from Canada. And, to me, those lights, I mean, I know how much they punch just in the wash effects one. Mm-hmm. So the wash effects two, they have bigger diodes. They're more powerful. It's a bigger fixture and it's going to pack a lot more punch. So that's a really cool light.
And it has improved lenses on it for better color mixing. Yep.
Did you, John, get a chance to see, and Dave, this might be interest to you as well. Did you see the Chauvet Freedom Flex?
I did.
What did you think of that?
Well, we can't talk about it because, it's actually, no, the Chauvet people couldn't talk about it. That was the key.
Oh, are we not supposed to talk about it?
No, the Chauvet. So I couldn't interview anyone from Chauvet about the Freedom Flex unit. What Freedom Flex is, they weren't supposed to, they could not do an interview. Albert wouldn't.
Why?
Albert said
Was it not technically supposed to launch yet or what?
Right. Right. Oh. But we can talk about it on our own. But we can't. They're not supposed to talk about it. So I can talk about it. So what that particular fixture is it's a Freedom, one of the Freedom Up lights. The looks exactly the same in all ways, shape, or form, except the battery is removable. So you can pop that out, and then of course it's also IP rated once the battery's back in. So you can take the batteries out, and you've got this nice little tray that you can put the batteries in, so they can charge up, and you don't have the heat issue that you could potentially have, and it's all just really kind of a nice way to do it. So if you have batteries,
so get this, Dave. Imagine this is the battery. Basically, it's like a clip. It's almost like a rifle clip.
Yeah.
And you take this clip out of the light, and you put it in the charging case, but you don't actually charge the lights inside the case.
You just charge batteries
with these cartridges in the battery slots, and it charges them. And I'm like, that's brilliant. And they're like, yeah, the better thing is you buy extra batteries. So if you're doing an event and all of a sudden your battery dies, you don't have to be like, oh crap, I'm going to have to go get a backup light. You just pull another cartridge out, you pop it in, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Love it.
That was like genius. And the other thing too, I liked the fact that they moved the LCD screen. To me, that was a big kind of turnoff, even though we still have them, but so you got the lenses and then it has like the lens reflector. So you can't actually see the lenses. Okay. Yeah. But then they have the LCD in the front and you can see the numbers, you can see the little dots and you can see the blinking and all that. I mean, you can see all that stuff where now they put all that information or all that, the LCD screen underneath. And like John said, it's IP65 rated. You can put this thing outdoors. It's a hex fixture, so it has all the color mixing you can do. And yeah, I'm
have the battery indicator lights still in the back though, so you can see them from a distance or not?
No, I didn't. You know, I'm not sure.
Because these were
guessing
still
it's probably underneath. And I would say a good indicator if your battery is dying is it's probably dark.
Are you sure that would be a good indicator? That might be. It could be just.
And if
teasing.
That's the case, again, if that's the case, you go grab another cartridge, you pop it in, you're good to go.
Right.
They also had. I also noticed they had the Zoom Wash, which I think you're going to see a lot of that going into like churches and things like that. When it comes to weddings, I don't really see being that too popular. But again, to me, they really came out with some lights that I would kind of consider crossover. They're kind of that next step if you're, you know, you're a DJ, but yet you want to get into some stage stuff or you want to get into, you know, bigger lighting. I checked the Zoom, like how fast that ratio is or how fast that moves. And it's a pretty quick movement. I was pretty impressed with how fast it actually did Zoom, because some of those fixtures, they just take forever to Zoom.
Yeah.
And you can't create a really cool snap reaction if you wanted to create like this cool chase of Zooming. Which we use a lot in our ellipsoidals, or I'm sorry, not our ellipsoidals, but our movers.
Hey, quick question. That Freedom H1, I didn't know what that until I just jumped on the Chauvet website.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That is a very...
So, John, why don't you give some feedback on that, and then I'll kind of tell you my thoughts on it.
So the Freedom H1 is this tiny little, it's about half a pop can. You know, it's about so big, tiny little light.
Yeah.
What's really kind of cool about it is it can be used as a spot to kind of fill in like the easy pins were if you want to get the magnetic bracket and the holder for the ceiling, whatever with that. I don't care about that. What I liked about it is that it's wire. You can control it wirelessly. It's got battery built in, so you can go and set these things around the room and you can use them as uplights. You take the bracket off, you've got little mini uplights, and you could set these around the room and you could carry, you know, 24 of them in a little, you know, a bushel basket, and out the door you go. Quick and easy to deal. They're not that expensive, and they've got a very, very bright hex LED in that, so you've got all sorts of color combinations and possibilities with that. Yeah. I think it's definitely, I think Rick was saying they're expecting somewhere between around an 8 to 10 hour runtime, depending upon what you're doing with it. Yeah, for a mobile DJ, I think my biggest concern with that is now it's too easy to pick it up and put it in your pocket and be out the door. Mm-hmm. That would be my biggest concern.
I agree.
Beyond that, I think it's a fabulous.
But is this meant to replace the easy pin spots?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me touch base on that a little bit. And I had kind of given. I talked to John, who's actually their marketing director over at Chauvet. That's actually first time I had met him was at this NAMM show this last week, and he's been there for a couple months now. But anyways, you know, I kind of said, you know, that was a big concern for a lot of people was, you know, you guys have these easy pins. The easy pins were awesome. Everybody loved them. When are they going to come out with the easy pin too? And this is kind of their transition. This is where they want people to go is with this H1. And there's a couple things that I kind of gave him some recommendations on. I said, you know, if you have this little filter, magnetic filter holder, I would highly recommend coming up with instead of the light blending or light bending filters that actually spread light, I would say you need to come up with something that actually concaves. Is that right? Concave?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To focus it
more.
So it actually tightens up the beam. And I told Rick, who's one of their product managers, and I think did he create the H1?
Was that Alan? I don't know for sure. He was telling me about some of the other ones that he was involved with. I don't remember if he said he was involved with that one or not.
So, one of the things that I said is, you know, I have some old easy pin or not easy pins. I have some old pin spots in the old lenses. I said, I would like to actually try and put a lens on there and see exactly how it reacts. You know, you might have to create some space so it actually takes in the light to push the light. But, you know, I think just messing around with it is really going to help me understand what it can do, what it can't do.
For sure.
But I think having a filter that I can actually tighten up that beam, because, you know, if I'm at a venue and I have to be 30 feet away from a centerpiece, the last thing I want is for me to waste all of my light's energy because it's spreading out so far and you're lighting up the entire table instead of just that centerpiece. So it was interesting, John, how you'd kind of mentioned that, you know, you can see using it for an uplight, but think about this. Think about using it as a downlight. How many DJs are doing uplights around the room? Pretty much everybody now. Even venues are doing it.
Yeah.
So what if you could actually do downlights through the entire room, all around the, you know, on the sides of the walls? I mean, that would look sweet.
That would.
So I think that's going to give people a lot of potential with those H1s. I think that's really going to kind of open up a new lighting, a new style of lighting design. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Cool. I guess that's why you're the lighting guy, and we're just here to carry your bags.
That's a nugget for anybody watching. I don't know if anybody is tonight, but.
And what you need to do is you need to go quick, set that up, take pictures of it. And that way, when Jeremy does it, you know, in a few weeks, he can say, hey, I was.
Copied me.
So there's one more fixture we need to talk about from the Chauvet booth. And there was another one that they could not talk about. The ability, what was it? The color band. There were the table that had the Bluetooth lights on it. They were being controlled by a Bluetooth app. There was like, I'm sorry, what were the, what models of lights were they? They're basically.
There was a par 12, there was a par 8, like a par 8, and then there was the color band picks.
It had three zones. It had three LEDs. And at that, they're basically, they are like the current versions of those particular lights. The only thing is they have their Bluetooth capability, and they have an app that's not out yet, but they have a Bluetooth app that will allow you to control those. So in the right situation, right application, this is would be a fabulous way to be able to control your uplighting if you were doing such a thing, or even a quick and easy washing for the dance floor type control. You could definitely do that.
Yeah, and I think I did get a chance to look at that, and at first I was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would use that.
Right.
And they're like, well, and that's kind of the point. You know, it's more for those people who maybe don't even really understand how to use a flare con, people who don't have the expensive lights like the Freedoms, you know, because you have to have the flare con to talk to, or your phone to talk to the flare con to talk to anything with DeFi. So the Bluetooth, what it does is basically as soon as you open up the app, and this, I thought this was really cool. It automatically finds all of the fixtures that has Bluetooth.
Oh,
And then basically I was like, okay, so I could see most DJs or most people who aren't DJs, maybe they're in a band or they're just running some lighting and they want to create this like chase effect. And they were showing me like the color, they were showing me like the color picker, and there was just certain things. I'm like, you know, and they're like, well, it's still kind of at the beginning stages, and you know, we'll definitely keep some of your suggestions in mind. But like, I could see DJs just opening it up and basically running their finger along the color wheel like you could with the FlareCon.
Yep.
But basically, it was a color picker. You could go on there, and then as soon as you found the color you wanted, you had to hit add color, and so you really couldn't do that. But what they did do, which I thought was really cool, is they had a bunch of things that were kind of pre-programmed. So if it was a certain style, whether it was a swing song or a rock song or a EDM song, I mean, they had like all these things that were pre-programmed. You could click on it, and then you could change the colors that you wanted to go along with that sequence, and then you could change the speed of it. So I thought that was really cool. I thought that was impressive. And again, for those people who aren't DMX, aren't FlareCon, but are just kind of like, I want to have a good light show, or I want to be able to just change the color when I need to and want to, I thought that's going to be a great idea. And I think, you know, we were talking about Bluetooth. I don't know what it's going to look like when you're in a room that's 80 feet by 100 feet wide. Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly how that's going to work. But you know what? It's cool that they're thinking about it.
Yeah. It should be interesting, though, if they're going to. And I didn't go into too much detail because, again, Rick couldn't answer questions on it. Although he could tell me a little bit, but he couldn't answer questions on it. So it's like, okay, can I, you know, could we use Bluetooth to control the first one and then master slave? You know, there's just some.
The other thing too, that, I've had a lot of people asking me on Facebook and on social media, they've been asking me about the, Cumulus. They've been asking me about the Cumulus.
That was cool.
And I don't know too much about the Cumulus. I know that they did have it, down at NAMM. I didn't get a chance to really look at it or analyze it. It's just a continuous fog, ground fog. Yep. And it doesn't raise as high as I thought it would. You know, that was one of my biggest fears, is I can't have something that's going to accidentally get a little bit too high and go up into the ceiling and turn on the fire alarms. Right. But one of the other concerns is, does it leave some type of moisture or residue on a floor? And I mean, it's water. It's water-based. Of course it's going to do that. The Nimbus does that because there's water mixed with dry ice, and it's going to create that reaction. So you do get a little bit of moisture. You just have to be careful on when you use that effect. You can't use it the whole night and expect people to fast dance and swing dance with the cumulus running, because they're probably going to slip. They're going to hurt themselves. So definitely keep those things in mind.
Yeah. I don't know how much it would, because I spent quite a bit of time playing with that one, because that was such a cool effect. And you put your hand in front of it, and you can, it feels like a Florida humidity.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, all it takes is just that little bit of humidity to create any type of moisture on a floor.
I wonder if putting a tube on it, because there is a tube and a kind of a deflector.
Oh yeah,
if that would help reduce that. But yeah, they're using basically kind of a fog fluid in there and a distilled water. Those are the two elements. Right. So there's no ice, no dry ice, no anything beyond that. And it's basically ultrasonically boiling, in that sense, that water, the distilled water. It's not boiling, but it's then that water hugs the ground, and it was a fabulous effect. It's not hot air coming, or it's nothing coming out hot or cold. It's just kind of room temperature, what have you, and then it just hugs the floor or the ground there. So I was very impressed with that for someone who's looked at that and they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with dry ice. Oh, I don't want to deal with ice cubes. Oh, I don't want to deal with whatever. This is
I didn't notice Blizzard. Was Blizzard there?
Blizzard wasn't there. Let's go through those.
Eternal?
Eternal wasn't there. There wasn't, Sir Winnebago wasn't there. So that meant that none of the Gibson companies were there.
Wow.
No Behringer or the Turbo Sound. They weren't there. And there was one other big one that wasn't there. Oh, shoot. But yeah, there were some major manufacturers that that we would typically have seen, and they just weren't.
So, Dave, do you use like when you do a ceremony, do you use a full mixer?
Oh yeah.
What kind of mixer do you use?
Allen Heath, Z14, as in ZED14.
Okay. So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the QSC touch mixes, John. Did you get a chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we've had the TouchMix 8s for quite some time, and they sent out an email, gosh, probably a year ago, that's like, hey, new software, download it, update your firmware, update your software, and you're going to love it. I have not done that yet.
Oh.
So I had a chance to go to the QSC booth, and I started playing with the the TouchMix 30 and the TouchMix 16, because we've been thinking about getting rid of our X32, our Behringer X32, and getting the TouchMix. So I had a chance to look at the TouchMix 30. I loved it. I think, to me, that is such a simpler board. We know how to run the TouchMix 8. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, the software is so cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is really nice. I mean, it has feedback killers. It has your EQs are live now. Before, you couldn't see the EQs. And so I'm like, well, this is really nice software. I wonder if this is only for the 30 and the 16. Oh, so I go to check out the 8. Guess what? The 8 has some really sweet software. I just got to download it. So, yeah, that was my lesson learned. But we are going to get the TouchMix 30 and the TouchMix 16. To me, they're great boards. They're very, very simple to use, using the auxes, there's so much great things there. And I asked the guy at QSC, I said, is there a digital snake? He's like, well, no, you don't need a digital snake. I'm like, why wouldn't I need a digital snake if I'm doing like a front of house or anything like that? He goes, well, you put the board next to the stage, you get your iPad, and now you can control every single channel. You can go stand out in the middle of the crowd if you want to, and you can change everything on your board.
Yeah.
It's not, no, I'm sorry. It's network. Is it network,
it's network.
John?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So you can set up a network and you can actually run your entire soundboard from your iPad or tablet. I shouldn't say iPad because I don't like iPads.
Anyways. Don't worry, Jerry. We know. Close it out.
They're pretty nice.
Like I said, I think QSC does a great job with their mixers. And I also noticed that Samson
was
They have some new things that came out from their Airwave line, I believe.
I didn't hit their booths. It wasn't on my excuse me.
I've always been a big fan of their Airwave or their airline, which is basically like this earpiece that's the transmitter, the battery, and everything. It's all just sticks to the back of your ear, and then it puts the microphone right here. We use those all the time, Proficients. Hmm. And they have some new stuff that's like for fitness people, and you know, there's a lapel pack now, and they also have one for like digital cameras, like what you do, John. When you're doing recordings, it actually has a digital receiver that you can clip right under your camera and then put a lapel on someone and, you know, send wireless signals that way. And there's like Zoom mics. And I mean, I thought they had some really cool things when it came to microphones. And I could see that being really valuable for ceremonies, for, you know, auxiliary stuff like fitness. So I thought they had some really cool things as well.
Yeah. Probably one of speaking of cameras and something that I think is, for those of you who do some videotaping of weddings, the Sony has a little microphone kit that they were really starting to push at this show. And I've talked to them before, but they hadn't brought this one up yet before. But it's a little receiver box, and it's a dual microphone receiver that has a range of, he was saying, close to 300 feet on this particular one. And wow. It picks up, it finds its channels, gets hooked up with two mics. So as someone who does interviews, then I have a wireless mic, they have a wireless mic. Or in the case of someone doing a ceremony, you can have the belt pack, and you could have that, have one that's on the groom and one that's on the officiant, and that's going right to the camera. So it's, there isn't any weird trying to, you know, lag or latency or anything to that effect, or you're having to match up the audio and the video later. It's all happening right on your camera.
Wow. That's
so
nice.
So that was kind of an interesting little mic option there and such. But the guy was like, you don't want to put it on, cause our camera, I don't have one here, but we've got kind of the high end consumer 4K cameras. He's like, yeah, those are nice cameras, but you wouldn't want to put that microphone on there. It's like, why? Because it would be in mono. Okay, but it would still sound good, right? Yeah, but it would be mono. So you need to spend $2,000 more and buy that camcorder, then you would have stereo with your two microphones. It's like, dude, ooh. I don't want to have one person in the right ear and one person in the left ear. That flashes me back to an old Bob and Doug McKenzie Great White North tape from back in the 80s. And you guys are all too young to get that reference.
So one of the things that I was talking with Mike Dussault about with ElectroVoice, I was asking about microphones, and obviously, you know, I'm guessing they're probably working on something. And I asked him, I said, tell me about like these rechargeable microphones. And he had some good points. It's like getting a microphone that actually has batteries instead of, you know, just being able to drop it in and charge the microphone that way. You know, what happens if, you know, you wake up the next, or you get to the show and that was unplugged the entire time and your microphone didn't charge? You know, how are you going to change out the batteries? How are you going to work through the situation when you can't switch things out? You know, and I mean, you can buy rechargeable batteries, but being able to switch batteries inside the microphone, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of value in that, in those rechargeable microphones. Do you have anything like that, Dave?
No, and I've heard of them, but I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the ability to put in a fresh set of batteries.
Yeah, and I noticed, you know, a lot of the booths there, it seemed like every microphone company had some type of pop it in. It's going to charge your stick mic or your handheld mic. To me, that's so much of a risk. I don't know if I could take that risk.
I mean, I guess the only advantage maybe to that could be if they're putting in some ultra high capacity battery, that's going to give me many more times the battery. I mean, there has to be an upside, right? What's the upside to a conventional battery?
Well, I'm thinking it's for an install of some sort. You know, if I'm in a karaoke bar and I have my four microphones there, right, and then, you know, the host drops them in, and that's, I can't.
But like all batteries eventually die. You know, they eventually start to wear down. Yeah. So you might get 6 hours out of it when you first buy it. Now, a year later, you get 2 hours. Now you get 15 minutes. It's like, who are you going to blame? The battery company, the microphone company? It's just, I mean, it's the facts of life that it's going to happen. Your batteries are not going to be 6 hours its entire life.
Yeah.
Right.
Just ask Apple.
I'm not going there, David.
Oh, I could sit here and justify them pretty easily, but...
So really, John, I know you were going to jump off and you were going to go tuck your kids in, but it was great chatting about this. I thought this was fun. Dave, I know you just did a lot of listening, but hopefully it was kind of cool and inspiring. And
well, it is. I'm looking at this QSC.
he's been searching
it. 8 now, Jeremy. And if you end up upgrading yours, I might just take yours off your hands.
Well, I have 2 TouchMix 8s.
Perfect. I'll buy one.
Yeah, he only needs one, so... You know.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay me in American, not Canadian.
Done.
Or is that the other way around? Do I want to go the other way? I don't get this whole thing.
Yeah,
I'll pay you however you want to be paid, Mr. Breck.
I might take you up on that, Dave. Might take you up on that.
That looks like a very, very cool unit. I mean...
And I'll even update the software for you.
So just to kind of wrap up, we talked about gear, we've talked about that. What did you think of the show overall? There's NAMM has such a unique flavor, a unique system. Did you feel that this year's show was different from years past?
Well, this was only my second NAMM. I went last year and I went this year. And since I was mainly in the EV room, I didn't get a chance to walk through and see like where all the guitars were and all so I didn't see that aspect of it. I don't know. I really don't. I can't really compare it to past NAMM since, you know, again, I was kind of in a distance from what the NAMM show really was. I mean, I was in the PA the whole time. I was over in Pro Audio. I thought... It is interesting when you go to lunch, though, and you're walking down to Food Truck Alley and some of these hairdos and some of the clothes that people wear. I'm like, okay.
Oh, come on. No,
I'm just curious. Do they dress like this just for the show, or do they actually dress like this to go get a gallon of milk?
That's a great question. But you know, that wasn't the part that stood out when you went down to the food trucks. It was the lofting smell of them smoking almost any kind of.
You know, we actually did smell that a couple times in the Pro Audio area. We were just like,
inside? Okay,
we got the haze machine going, we don't need any more, we're good.
For those who don't know, that recreational marijuana is legal in California now, so you would be walking down to the food truck and there's a couple of people sitting off to the side, there's cigarette, okay, there's smoking, and then there's smoking.
That's great. Well, coming to Canada countrywide July 1st this year.
Wow. We'll have that haze of smoke just rolling down from the...
Yeah. We're going to have some amazing sunsets.
you know what's actually going to be weird? I know this has nothing to do with our show, but is when Canadians apply for a Nexus card, which is a card I'm sure you guys are familiar with. It's for easy cross-border... Yeah, it's available to you guys too. Your government runs the program. Anyway, one of the questions that we are asked is, have you ever smoked marijuana? And if you answer yes, you immediately do not qualify.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I have my Nexus card. I was able to answer accordingly. And,
hold on. Is this the wall to the north then? Is that what this is?
Yeah. So I don't know what your system's going to do when it's legalized countrywide, because there's going to be a whole lot of the country saying, sure I do. Of course I do.
We're not smart enough.
You're like, sorry, July 1st, no more. Canadians are not allowed to the northern border. That's how we're going to do it. It's an invisible wall. It's called Nexus.
And Canadians are so honest, they'll be like, yeah, I did. Sorry.
Cheerio. Oh God! Anyway, thanks for hanging out, John.
Yeah.
Thanks for the show update, Jerry. It's a show I have to get to one of these days, so it will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is an experience. That it is.
why is Jeremy, I got lips moving?
That's a great question.
Anyway, folks, it's been a great night.
Yeah. You guys, one more time, I'll be sending the email out in just a few minutes here for the next video. If you go out to DJ and TV Insider and you sign up for the free version or the keep up to date, I'm going to send that email out right after I get out of here. And then MJ is going to be starting in about 10 minutes. So, Jeremy, awesome. Dave, good seeing you guys.
Take care, John. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.